Good afternoon. The Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee is called to order. For the record, the time is 3:32 p.m. on February 21st, 2017. We're in the Belts Committee Room of the Tom Stewart Building. Present today are Senators Gardner, Bishop, and Stedman. Senators Hoffman and McKinnon are away on other states' business. I'd like to recognize our staff today. Ann Kreckelberg from Senate Records. Good afternoon, ma'am. Mr. Ben Manley on the teleconference network. And John Manley, I think they're related, from my office. And cell phones, we all know the drill. And we'll be hearing one Senate bill today, and that would be Senate Bill 7. It's on our agenda. Our meeting, minute meeting notice did include House Bill 78, Representative Dean Westlake's Indigenous Peoples Days legislation. He is out of town for the next several days, and I did not want to hear that bill until the Mr. Westlake was here in the flesh to present that before this committee. So with that, we will be getting back to Senate Bill 7. The prime sponsor is here, Senator Stevens. Good afternoon, sir. It's nice to have you. And you and Mr. Leitch would like to come up and explain the bill. We're ready to listen. And I think Senator McKinnon will be along briefly. And so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Gary Stevens from Kodiak. First, I can't tell you how much I like museums and how many museums I've dragged my kids to when they've complained about it, but finally, after the experience, they've all had a wonderful time and learned so much. Museums are about our history, they're about our culture. We have a lot of needs in this state for museums. We have some great museums now, but we have it's a long string of museums that need to have work, need to have some improvements. Actually, I have six museums in my district, which is pretty remarkable, and I suppose we all have lots of museums. The goal of this bill, Senate Bill 7, is to establish a framework for how we proceed from here and address the museum work that needs to be done in this state. We know there's no money. That's a given to start with. There's no money in this bill, but it does establish that framework for the future. And we have had our ups and downs in this state. We know that sometimes we can help fund museums, sometimes we can't. This is one of the times that we can't, but this gives us that framework for the future. Actually, I was thinking of coming in here, it's much like the situation we faced with the libraries, and Senator Stedman was well aware of that. And we had enormous needs in our libraries in the state, and as we had the funding available, we worked through the Library Association, and were able to click off those as we prioritize them one by one by one until we had an enormous change in the number of libraries that we had here in the state. So I know there's no money in this. I know that we're not asking for any money, but to establish this framework is the important thing. So I'll turn it over to Doug Letcher on my staff, who's been working with this, and I'm sure he can answer any questions you may have.
If I could interrupt just a second. Thank you, Senator Stevens, for those opening remarks. And I'd just like the record to reflect we are at a full complement. Senator McKinnon has been with us for some time, as well as Senator Hoffman. Thank you. Doug?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Doug Letch, aide to Senator Gary Stevens, and pleased to be before the Senate CNRA Committee this afternoon to talk to you about Senate Bill 7. As the Senator mentioned, the idea for the bill is to establish a program in the future in which we could fund museum projects. It's very similar to the language in the bill that set up the program for the libraries. It'd be run through the Commerce, Community, and Economic Development Committee. Under the provisions of SB 7, a person in charge of construction, expansion, or major renovation of an eligible museum could apply to the department for matching funds under regulations that would be adopted by the department. The key point is we intend this bill to be subject to appropriation. The department, down the line, if there is money, would then be able to award not more than 50% of the total proposed grant project cost to an eligible applicant. Museums would be eligible for the program if they're located in Alaska, entitled to receive state grant funds, and provide matching funds from other sources of at least 50% of the project cost. As you know, Alaska is home to many museums, many cultural centers located in numerous communities around the state of various sizes, and these facilities connect our past and future. And our goal with this bill is to help them continue their good work. We think that quite a few museums have plans for major capital projects down the line, and any assistance that the state could provide, I know, would be greatly appreciated by these folks. And with that, be happy to talk to you more about SB 7 and open it up to any questions you may have.
Okay. Thank you. Committee members, questions for the bill sponsor? Yeah? Senator McKinnon, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Stevens, I'm working on a bill for energy efficiencies for construction development, and I'm wondering if it's your intention for best practices to be used by the museums to make sure that the space is energy efficient. Sometimes the operating costs for facilities throughout Alaska are extremely burdensome as they go forward for everyday operating costs, and I hope I'm in a final draft in the next 10 days to bring that forward for consideration of the body. But just wanted you to speak to energy efficiencies. I have specifically seen in smaller communities some pretty spectacular looking buildings that have a lot of glass in them that sometimes are in high energy cost areas that preclude best practices for operating the actual building.
Oh, thank you. Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I reflect back on what happened with the libraries. And if you look at the library in Homer, or the library in Kodiak, or the library in Seward, those were all done one after the other, but all done energy efficiently. The library in Homer was awarded a LEED, LEED award for being really innovative, and As the one was in Kodiak. I'm not sure the one in the sewer that was out of my district when that finally was built, but the new libraries certainly have followed that lead and have made sure that they are energy efficient. So that would be certainly best practices, absolutely what we want to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to add a little bit to that. Sometimes the communities we saw with the libraries, I think as we've looked back on that initial intent, was to help communities build a library at half the cost. But what we ended up doing is getting libraries in a lot of cases twice as big. And they came out very nice. Sometimes their initial planning at the local level was a little robust, and the 4-acre group then got involved to work with them on sizing the facility for the individual community and looking at the operating costs and particularly energy costs, because as pointed out earlier, you know, some of our areas have high energy costs and it becomes burdensome, and the intent was not to burden the general operating account at City Hall, but to get these libraries modernized and have a place for children to grow up in and around libraries and become more productive citizens that are older and better informed, quite frankly, as a citizen when they walk into the voting booths. And the museum bill in front of us appears to me to have a lot of those same traits. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if groups like the 4-Acre Group do not work with the communities and the department to make sure that the museums are sized for the community, so we don't have a community that suffers with illusions of grandeur and build something that's unaffordable.
Okay, thank you.
Through the chair, absolutely right, Mr. Chairman. That certainly is the goal, and you can see how the way it worked out with the libraries, they did exactly that. And you think about the museums that that we have around the state. I just know the museums in my community currently have a historical museum, mostly Russian-American, have a maritime museum and have a native museum. You think about it, those are all those things that are so important, so crucial to us, who we are as a people, what our culture is, what our history is, and there's just such a need throughout the state to have museums like this, and you're absolutely right. We need to make sure they're built to code and to best practices and to energy efficiency, and I think Senator Stedman is absolutely right. We saw some grandiose plans, and eventually they were they became something that people could actually support and pay for all the time.
Anyone else have any questions at the time? We've got about seven people in line to testify. Anybody has no further questions at this time, we'll go to open it up for public testimony. So I'm going to go off-net to Kodiak LIO first, and we're going to go to Tiffany Bronson, Kodiak Historical Society. Tiffany, you're up.
And, hello. Thanks for taking my comments. As you said, I'm Tiffany Brunson, the Executive Director of the Kodiak Historical Society and Baranoff Museum, and I'd like to express our support for Senate Bill 7, and thanks to Senator Stevens for sponsoring it. Museums and cultural centers are anchor institutions that deliver educational services, research opportunities, exhibit local art and culture, provide public programs, and generate revenue through cultural tourism. Despite the vital role of museums in our communities, our facilities and collections are at risk through decreasing federal, local, and charitable giving, and the increasing age of our facilities, many of which were never intended to be museums. As collections grow and visitation increases, the pressure on our aging infrastructure must be managed. This bill would establish an effective framework to support the current and growing capital needs of Alaskan museums. The needs for this kind of program can be seen locally in Kodiak. The Kodiak Maritime Museum has long been planning to construct a museum building of its own, which would be the first maritime museum in Alaska. The Aleutic Museum has outgrown its current facility and plans a capital campaign to construct a museum and cultural center where Aleutic culture can be both preserved and celebrated. The Baranoff Museum, which is operated by the Kodiak Historical Society, is housed in the oldest building in Alaska, built circa 1808. Our building is our greatest resource, a cultural asset to its owner, the city of Kodiak, and to our community, but it also requires a significant amount of continuous maintenance, and our collections and staff are rapidly outgrowing our historic space. The passage of SB 7 would assist all the organizations in Kodiak that are dedicated to preserving its cultural history, and this museum construction grant program would be a great benefit to Kodiak and to the whole state of Alaska. We're grateful to the state lawmakers for consideration of this bill, so thank you.
All right, Tiffany, thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Valdez and Patricia. You're up.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Very well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Senator Bishop, Senator Gardner, Senator Huffman, Senator McKinnon, and Senator Stevens. I so appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today. Today I'm wearing my museum's Alaska hat, which is a statewide organization of approximately 65 museums in the state. Did you know we have over 65 museums? That's quite significant. Today you're going to hear stories about how museums are facing critical infrastructure issues. Without the proper care and housing of public trust collections, we just couldn't offer robust education programs like you will be hearing from Angie of the Museum of the North. But did you know Governor Bill Walker issued a proclamation designating 2017 as the Year of History and Heritage in recognition of Alaska's sesquicentennial? That's our 150th year anniversary since Russia ceded its possession and interest in Alaska to the United States. Governor Walker's proclamation encourages all Alaskans to study, teach, reflect upon our past, and apply its lessons to a brighter, more inclusive future. With foresight, Museums Alaska clearly recognizes the fiscal challenges of our state and communities that are facing. We advocate for the passage of SB 7 to establish an effective framework to support current and growing capital needs of Alaska museums as state and local economies improve and capital funding becomes available. And we want to stress that we're not asking for any money at this time. Now, as I said, we have over 65 museums in the state, including cultural centers, historic houses that preserve and exhibit our history. Rooted in our communities, we are anchor institutions that deliver educational services, research opportunities, We support local arts and culture. We provide public programs. We generate revenues through cultural tourism. And most of these institutions are buildings that were never intended to be museums. I reflect on Senator McKinnon's comments about energy efficiencies, and now is the time for museums across the state and all the communities to really work towards planning appropriate programs. I also reflect on Senator Stedman's comments about working with 4-Acre. From the get-go, when we started advocating for this matching grant program, we've been working closely with 4-Acre. And in the 2014 McDowell Group survey, it demonstrates critical infrastructure needs for cultural institutions. Of the 36 museums contacted, 75% identified significant capital improvement needs within the next 5 years. Exhibition space, improvements to facilities, collection storage, expansions, security improvements, and you'll also hear today about the need for bathrooms. And they're all top priorities. Here in Valdez, I'll just give you a little...
Hey, Patricia, hey, if you could do a summation for me, because I got about 7 more people to go. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Senator Bishop. I could go on. I speak passionately about it. So just thank you for your time, your consideration, your service to Alaska. On behalf of all my colleagues and museums around the state, I urge the Community and Regional Affairs Committee to support SB7. You're going to hear some other wonderful stories. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Now we're going to go to the Fairbanks LIO, and first up, Eric Johansson, Pioneer Air Museum. And if you could kind of keep your comments to 3 minutes, we'd appreciate it. Please go ahead and state your name for the record.
Okay. Yes, my name is Eric Johansson. I was born and raised in Ketchikan and moved to Fairbanks 42 years ago, and I'm a board member of the Pioneer Air Museum, and certainly, you know, it's classified as a building that was never intended to be a museum, and it has pretty much a lot of needs, which I'm, you know, not going to go into at this time. I'm going to tell you that I wholeheartedly support SB7, and I also support an income tax and other revenue-generating measures because there are things that I think that the state government needs to do and needs to support. I want them to support things in the community and in the state, and they need revenue to do that. And I also think it's a very good thing for the state residents to be supporting the state government so they have an interest in what goes on in the government. So I'm not asking, you know, for passage of SB7 and also asking for oil to support the museums. I'm asking for SB7, and I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Pete Hagelin. Pete?
Yeah, Senator, thank you for the opportunity here today. We've talked about the issues here before in the past, and I was born and raised here in Fairbanks, flown for 51 years commercially, and have a pretty good background on it. I'm currently the curator at the Pioneer Air Museum. I go back to the 2014 McDowell Group study. It said about 75% of the people they interviewed needed to expand or improve dramatically their facilities. Ours is one of those, for sure. As an example, restrooms have been asked for since 1982 when the IAAAF moved into the Gold Dome, and nothing's been done until I asked for an asbestos report here about a year ago, just over a year ago. It only took the borough about a month and a half after I got hold of that asbestos report to tear down the old facilities. And so we're trying to move ahead. We need to expand. We have education programs going on. We have projects that need work. We need a place to work on them. We don't have a place to work on them. And we need some the space for archiving. And this bill, Senate Bill 7, provides a pathway to do those things. We have a lot of children's programs. There's nothing like having about 30 kids in the place and have one of them or two of them stand up and want to go to the bathroom, and they can't. So those are some of the things. I'm sure, Senator Bishop, that you have a good idea of what we need, and I appreciate this opportunity to say something about it. Thank you.
Pete, thanks for your comments, and thanks for what you do there at that museum, for stepping up and taking the place for some pioneers that we've lost up there in Fairbanks, and I really appreciate you stepping up to the plate, because for people that haven't been to that museum, when you can go in there and actually touch a piece of Ben Eielson's airplane that he lost his life in, that was brought back from Russia, that's as good as it gets. So next, Steve Heckman, Pioneer Air Museum, Fairbanks.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify, Senator. I might just mention, Pete is the curator at the museum, for those that are unaware of that. I sit on the board and have been on the board for a couple of years. I think the Pioneer Air Museum at Pioneer Park is a tremendous museum with some tremendous exhibits. We have a lot of needs. Pete mentioned one of them, the bathroom, kind of a basic need, but it would sure be nice to have one there. We've got plans, blueprints of plans for things that we would like to do, and we're looking down the road, hoping to eventually be able to do some of these things, and I think this Senate bill would go a long way to kind of keeping that momentum going. I wholeheartedly support it. I wholeheartedly support this for our museum and all the other museums in the state. And I'll just, as an aside, second Eric's comment, which is not really part of this, but I do support income tax. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to shift gears, go to the University of Alaska Museum, Angela Lynn.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Angela Lynn. I'm the Senior Collections Manager for Ethnology and History at the University of Alaska Museum. I've been a board member of Museums Alaska for about 8 years now, and this is my 21st year working in the Museum of the North. So I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to speak today, to express my support of Senate Bill 7, which would establish this museum construction grant program. Alaska is proud to have actually over about 80 museums and cultural centers, depending on how you define them. Many of these institutions actually came into existence as a result of the centennial funding appropriated by the state legislature back in 1967. Each day in these communities around our state, our museums and cultural centers welcome visitors from near and far. Visitors old and young enter our facilities to learn about the objects and stories that tell our collective histories. Here in Fairbanks, the University of Alaska Museum of the North sees over 90,000 visitors annually. Nearly 3,000 of those visitors are K-12 kids from the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District and surrounding areas. These children come from our volunteer docents or from teachers and adult caregivers about the natural, cultural, and art history of Alaska. In our world-class museum, which was established in 1926 in the early days of the university as a home for Alaska-based research, we're one of over 30 Alaskan institutions that are actively planning for or in the midst of an expansion or a renovation project. For UAM, we are working on a renewal of our 37-year-old Gallery of Alaska, that gallery where thousands of school children learn about the connections between our land and our people in the past and present. like every, but every other museum in our state, we're also in urgent need of additional collection space to curate the 1.5 million objects and specimens that are in our care. A primary responsibility of museums and cultural centers is to preserve our collections, protecting them from the agents of deterioration, those forces that act to accelerate their degradation. When an object is deposited into our permanent collections, it's our responsibility to care for it in perpetuity. But as these facilities become overcrowded or age themselves, this job becomes more difficult. Only through the expansion or renovation can we keep the infrastructure in place to safeguard these holdings. Senate Bill 7 will establish a system that can help our museums obtain the funding needed to accomplish this task. I ask for your support of this program so Alaska students of the future continue to have the essential experience of learning in our state's museums. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Angela. Now we're going to go to Cusco, Quinn, go to Bethel. Eva Malovich, if I've said that right, AVCP, Bethel.
Can you hear me?
Very good.
Liana, to the members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee for allowing me to speak. My name is Eva Malovich. I am an Alaska native born and raised in the YK Delta region. I am also the director curator for the association of village council presidents, Yupik Bajiri Wright Museum in Bethel, Alaska. Thank you, Senator Stevens, for sponsoring this bill. Senate Bill 7 will make a big impact in our, on our organization. Our long-term plan is to become the Yupik Knowledge Center. SB 7 will be the foundation for building a repository, allowing our precious artifacts to stay in the region. At this time, there is no facility or service readily available to our tribes who want to preserve ancient artifacts that are being uncovered due to coastal erosion. For instance, in the community of Kunahak, they found masks and other items from a sod house dated 500 years old washed on the beach. Although they tried getting help from the state resources, none were available, forcing them to seek help from outside. By moving towards a repository, our facility will be well equipped to help Kunahak, as well as other villages who are experiencing coastal erosion and degradation of their ancient sites located near the ocean. We know at least one other village is also experiencing this problem and loss of artifacts. It takes well-maintained facilities to provide benefits, such as what I spoke about, so that these artifacts don't get lost forever. And that we are able to provide staff with a safe, accessible space to work and learn in. Liana, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Now we're going to come back to Juno in the room. And I see we have Catherine Eldemar is here for testimony, I believe. If you'd like to come, put your name on the record and we'd love to hear from you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, committee members, Chair Bishop. Thank you all for the opportunity to address the Community and Regional Affairs on Senate Bill 7. My name is Catherine Eldemar, and I am the Director for the Division of Community and Regional Affairs in the Department of Commerce. DCRA administers $1.25 billion in federal, legislative, and state grants. These grants are administered throughout the state of Alaska, and we have the Community Aid and Accountability section at DCRA staff members who are responsible for administering these grants. Other duties include administering the Community Assistance Program. It was formerly known as the Community Revenue Sharing. They also administer the Shared Fisheries Business Tax as well as the PILT funds. Back to SB 7. Should SB 7 become law, DCRA will be responsible for the museum program grant. At first glance at this bill, it would seem that it does not have a fiscal impact on DCRA because there's no grant funding attached to the bill, but that presumption would be inaccurate. Assuming SB 7 does in fact become law, DCRA foresees the impacts to the division would be similar to those experienced with the library grant program, which was created because the two programs are statutorily similar. What happened in that case was DCRA is required to draft regulations for the the Museum Construction Grant Program. Drafting regulations requires time to produce. There are procedural steps, which include public notice, and it typically takes about a year to complete. Additionally, communities actually submitted library grant applications for their projects. DCR would have to accept the applications, consider those applications for funding, and would go ahead and rate the applications that were received. What was unique was there were no grants awarded after this entire process. I brought with me a binder to show you, for example, this is one grant application for a library. So when different communities come forward and submit their application, our grant staff has to go ahead and review it, they have to rate it, and this is time consuming. They also have to go ahead and store it. And until the time the legislature comes forward with funding, we would be unable to process those applications. DCRA grant administers many grants, and they are responsible for the administration and the oversight. It does cost money to review, oversee, and store the grant applications, and this is, of course, a concern, especially in light of the state's current budget challenges. Now, the expansion of the definition of museum under SB 7 is actually quite exciting. This expansion of the definition of museum opens the door for many which were previously closed to showcase their wonderful and unique communities. But as most things, it does take some funding. DCRA asks that if the legislature does pass the bill as it is presently worded, that sufficient staffing be provided. Last week, DCRA did, in fact, submit an indeterminate fiscal note. As the administration was informed, there may be an alternative, a committee substitute, or a new version of the bill. During the previous legislative session, the committee substitute for House Bill 52 was introduced to address these concerns. The change provided that the department did not have to write regulations nor accept grant applications until funding was actually provided by the legislature. This reduced it to a zero fiscal note. The ability of DCRA to absorb additional programs has been curtailed by the reductions of the number of employees at DCRA. In the event SB 7 becomes law, as currently presented, we would just request sufficient funding to make sure that we can take care of the museum requests. Again, thank you much for your opportunity to address the committee, and if you have any questions, we are happy to provide you with any information you might need.
Thank you. Any questions for the director at this time? Senator McKinnon.
1 second, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Catherine, is there a reason that you couldn't accept the grant app? I understand that you'd have to develop regulations. Is there a reason why we're still going old school with paper products versus having electronic storage that wouldn't take up the space as far as the storage issue goes?
We prefer electronic filings, actually. That's the best way to handle files at this time. But there is a paper component to them as we begin the process. There's certain amount of paperwork that's just required.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other committee members, questions? Thank you,
okay,
Director,
thank you
for today. Anyone else in the room would like to testify? Seeing none, anybody online wishing to testify? I think we've covered all of our bases. With that being said, I'm going to close public testimony at this time. Any other discussion from committee members? I think we've got an amendment that we're going to be distributing and talking about the next few days before the next meeting. I wanted to give the committee ample time to review that and not be rushed today. We're going to set this bill aside and revisit it on Thursday. Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question of the sponsors?
Yes. Yes, you may. Mr. Letch.
Yes, for the record, again, my name is Doug Letch, staff to Senator Gary Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was reading the sponsor statement and just had put a note on the side of your third bullet point that said museums are eligible for this program if they're located in Alaska, entitled to receive state grant funds, and providing matching funds from other sources of at least 50% of the cost of the project. And so I was wondering if EVO's funds would qualify as matching money.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I'd have to get an answer from somebody more knowledgeable than me.
Thank you.
And get back to you. Thank you.
I have one question. The chair's actually got a question. It's just a curiosity question because I don't think it fits in this bill, but someone like this bill sponsor, I've been called a library rat and a museum rat. With that being said, there's a lot of antiquities that have left Alaska at the time that was the thing to do on expeditions 100 and some years ago. And I'm wondering if there's any room in this bill, you don't need an answer today, for helping maybe if there was a lack of repatriation funds to bring totems back to Alaska or other indigenous pieces of history, could this bill be a vehicle to do that? So that's just a question for the bill sponsor to think about.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chairman, I'll bring that up with Senator Stevens. And it's very interesting that you talk about that. Recently I was looking through material from my college, the University of Maine, and discovered that the Seattle Seahawks logo is based on a totem that had wound up from Washington, which is now Washington State, to Orono, Maine. And they worked on getting that back there, which I thought was very interesting. Not that I like the Seahawks as much as the Patriots. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify on the bill today, and look forward to working with you and your staff on substitute language that will address the department's concerns.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody. We're going to set SB 7 aside till next Thursday, having no further business on the agenda. This meeting is adjourned at 4:10 p.m.